I'd like to turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and I'm going to read as a text this morning the third verse. And the subject I'd like to look at with you this morning is the Lord's love for his people. And this is a vast subject, and so I don't anticipate covering every angle of it. And so if you have many aspects of Christ's love, I'm sure you do, that you know of, that I don't mention, that you'll forgive me, because of course we can only touch the surface of the Lord's love for his people. But here in verse 3 of John 11, it says, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold he whom thou lovest is sick." Well, this chapter, of course, is almost unique in the whole New Testament because it reveals to us, tells us of that spectacular wonder of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I can only imagine what it must have been like to be among that little company of Jews that went with Mary and Martha and observed, along with the disciples, the astonishing wonder, the spectacle of this momentous miracle of Christ. Of course, it became very quickly a widespread event known widely here in verse 45. "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus had did, believed on him." And then in verse 47, "Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." What an understatement that was. This miracle, of course, outshone all other miracles that Christ did, aside, of course, of his own resurrection from the dead. In medical terms, in biological terms, can you conceive of a miracle more astonishing? He said that the brain, 6 minutes after death, deteriorates beyond repair. And here is the Son of God, in an unmistakable way, showing in an undeniable way who he is. And he did it because he loved his people. And that's what I want us to think of this morning. Really, of course, this miracle of the raising of Lazarus from the dead was just a preview event of the greatest crowning miracle of all, when he raised himself from the dead on the third day. And that's the hope of all Christ's people, isn't it? That we shall be raised incorruptible, undefiled. And that though death shall come upon us all, if we are in Christ, we shall have life. Life here and life beyond the grave. The hymn writer says, "God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives." And so that's the hope of God's people. We shall live in him. He says, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." So this miracle was a proof that Christ was the Son of God the all-powerful Son of God, who, even though he was the Son of God, was made flesh. He had a human nature and a divine nature. And he exercises here his unlimited power in making the grave, the tyranny of the grave, loose its hold upon the one that was held in its grip, the undeniable Son of God and God the Son. And so the Lord, he doesn't approach the grave here as an idle spectator. But Calvin says he comes as a champion who prepares to conquer. What a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ we have set before us then here this morning. Of course, his miracles here in natural things as he went through life and demonstrated his divine nature through his miracles that he did in nature were just a picture of that divine miracle that Christ does for all his people. He raises us from spiritual death. And so this miracle then this morning, of course it took place in a very busy time. It was the time of Passover. And people were coming to and fro up to Jerusalem. And there was much hustle and bustle around Bethany, this little town just before Jerusalem. Many passers-by would have been on the way up to the city. And it took place as well near to the time when Christ himself would go to the cross. Wouldn't be long, not many months after this, that he would suffer and die. And so everybody coming that way would have heard of Lazarus being raised from the dead. So that's by way of introduction this morning, but I'd like us to look really at three simple aspects of Christ's love. And the first one we find here in verse 3, and this is the constancy of the love of Christ. Christ's love is constant in a time of sickness. You see here in verse 3, thou, he whom thou lovest, is sick. Now Christians, of course, can be sick and ill just like others, can't we? There are not different kinds of medical centers for Christians who don't have the same kind of illnesses as others. There's only one type of hospital. Christians can fall sick. And the question is this. What happens to the love of Christ? Does Christ's love change in a time of sickness? He whom Jesus loved was sick. Lazarus was not only sick, but he was sick unto death. And the question surely arises in our minds, if Jesus, who has all power over disease and sickness and death itself, if he could have caused Lazarus not to have been sick, why didn't he? But the Lord allowed Lazarus to fall sick. He whom he loved. And friends, that speaks to us this morning that we must always remember this lesson, that sickness is not a sign that God does not love us. The love of God toward Lazarus was constant, even during this time of sickness. But he allowed this sickness to come. And we read here that it was for the glory of God in verse 4, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The Lord had a purpose in bringing that time of sickness into Lazarus's life. There he was, laying on his bed, no doubt groaning under the weight of his illness, whatever it may have been. It didn't lessen the trial that he endured. But Christ still loved him. His love is a constant love. What is sickness for? Well, sickness has many lessons to it. One of them is it draws our affections away from this world. It directs them heavenward. If we're one of the Lord's, it often sends us to the Word of God, doesn't it, in times of sickness. We realize that our life here will not go on the same forever. But that great day is coming when there will be a change. And our body will one day fail. And so sickness, its real value is to point us to Christ. It trains our hearts to be ready for that great hour. Are you ready this morning? If a time of sickness came upon you, maybe you are going through a trial of that kind. And maybe there are some connected here who know constant sickness and illness. And they wonder, does the Lord love me? Yes, his love is constant. But he trains us. There's a picture I once saw of ivy. Grand mansion, but there all around this mansion was ivy clinging to the walls. And little by little, that ivy, though it didn't know it, didn't realize it, was clinging to a mansion that was crumbling. And one day, it would have nothing to cling to. And the Lord weans us from the world, sometimes through sickness. But we are to remember that his love is constant. We will not always live here, but the Lord's love will go with us wherever we may be found. So the Lord loves us no less when we are sick. And we notice this beautiful message that these sisters send to him. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They didn't demand anything, did they, from the Lord Jesus? But they submitted to his will. They didn't say, Lord, please come. There was a humility. No doubt they were praying that the Lord would come. But they just sent this simple message, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. What faith is needed in times of sickness? We need great patience. It can cause us to become very confused and grieved in our heart when a time of sickness comes. But what must we do? We must do what Mary and Martha did. We must pray unto the Lord. They sent a message to him, didn't they? And this is a picture for us to call upon the Lord in a time of trouble and sickness. He is the most able and wisest helper. He understands all sickness. He is the great physician. When we take our paracetamol, I sometimes wonder, we've got a headache. How many times do we pray, Lord, bless this medicine. Thou art the healer. We can, and we obviously should go to all the medical help and take the medical help that is available to us. But we should not forget that our Saviour is able to heal and does heal both physically and spiritually. Sickness then should cause us to pray unto the Lord like Mary and Martha. Lord, behold, there was an urgency here. There was a plea here to him. He whom thou lovest is sick. There was a connection that they already had with the Lord because they loved him, they served him, they honored him. And what a comfort it will be in times of sickness for us, even sickness unto death, if we know the Lord. Do you know him this morning? Is he your Lord? Will he, at that hour when you need him, will he be there? What a terrible thing if you come down to your sick bed. You have no one to go to. What a tragedy. They knew the Lord, and the Lord knew them. The Lord loved them. And they said, behold, there was an urgency. Come, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Oh, what submission we need to the Lord's will. But we should pray. We should pray in times of sickness, but also when we're well. Our times are in God's hand. We pray that his will may be done in our life. Well, what peace comes when we trust Christ with all of our concerns. Think of the moment that they got the messenger with the message and sent him away, and he came back and said, I've told him. What peace can come when we cast our burden on the Lord? However difficult, however heartbreaking the trial, if we can trust him with it, then he will carry it with us. They said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Christ's love then, firstly, is constant. A constant love. How different is Christ's love to our love? We love when it suits us. We love when it's convenient for us. But Christ loves all his people with a faithful, steady love. I want you to notice something here in verse 5. The constancy of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Here are three characters. Mary, she was supposedly, from what we pick up in Scripture, a quieter character. She sat at the Lord's feet. She heard the Lord's word. Martha was a busy woman, both holy, godly women whom the Lord loved. We're not told about Lazarus's character, but notice the Lord loved Lazarus. He loved Martha and he loved Mary. Now in a church, we know we're all different characters. Some of us are easier to get on with than others. And we all have our differences in our character. But the love of Christ is so deep. He loves all his people equally, constantly, unfailing love. Love which is so constant. If you look here in verse 16, we find out about Thomas. And Thomas's character comes out in Scripture as one who found it hard to believe things and found it oftentimes he would get the wrong end of the stick. But the Lord loved Thomas. And in fact, if you turn over into John 13 and verse 1, it tells us that when the hour was come that the Lord Jesus should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Do you know the love of Christ this morning? Unfailing love. You come this morning with all your confusion and doubt and fears and frustrations of life. You know, there's one place of solitude and peace. It's when the love of Christ floods your heart as that constant, unchanging, unfailing, forgiving love. That's the love of Christ towards Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and for all his people, whoever they are. The faithfulness of the love of Christ, then. Do you have such a friend this morning? Do you know him as your friend? In times of despair, in times of sickness, there is one thing needful. It's to know Christ and to have him near at hand. The second aspect of Christ's love we see in this passage is his compassionate love. And here in verse 11, in a time of great distress and despair, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Here we're given a picture of the Lord waiting for a time in order to challenge the unbelief of those who would later see the miracle that he did. But we see him above all responding to his friends, his loved ones, his children. Here were Mary and Martha in great distress. Of course, the Lord knew that. And although his love for them was constant, there was an upswelling of love, a deep compassion in the heart of Christ that caused him to go where they were. He knew what had happened. He knew that Lazarus was dead. But he could not stay away from his heartbroken children, from these loved ones. And so he says, I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now you see, the Lord's love is constant, and that's a wonderful comfort to us. But you know, the Lord's love also is so compassionate in times of great despair and distress. The Lord comes to his people in a special way. And perhaps you've known that in your Christian life. Times when you've felt bereft of comfort. And yet the Lord has come. And you perhaps cannot explain it to others, but somehow the Lord drew near to you and comforted you. We remember the two on the way to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You see, this is the compassionate love of Christ, an upswelling, surging of love and concern for his people. We remember the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord not only loves his people, he is concerned, watches over them, cares for them. And in times of despair and trouble, he comes for his glory, that he might be better known in our heart, and that our life might be touched by his grace as he works out his purpose for us. We look here in verse 11. He calls Lazarus his friend. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go. Know every true Christian has a friend in heaven, a friend of almighty power and boundless love. He thinks of them. He cares for them. You remember how the Apostle Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yes, he's God's eternal Son, but he's the protector, the defender of his people. The world may despise them, but Christ is not ashamed to call them his friend. Look at Lazarus here. He is the friend of Christ, even after death. No, Lazarus, even if he had died, Christ's love for him was unfailing. His love goes through death, beyond this world. The love of Christ reaches far, far beyond into eternity. The friendship of the Son of God is stronger than death. Do you have such a friend this morning? A friend who sticks closer than a brother. What compassion then was in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? And this morning you say, well, I'm such a great sinner. I've done so many things that are wrong. How can I know the Lord's love? How can he possibly call me his friend? Well, of course, he had to suffer for our sins on the cross. He had to lay down his life. There was no easy way out, was there? Death was real. The death of Lazarus was real. Just like our sins are real. Because the wages of sin is death. The reason Lazarus died was death, was his sins. That's why death came upon him. And this is why in verse 25, the Lord spoke to Martha, said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Sin will not have dominion. It will not have the final say over those whom the Lord Jesus loves. He is the resurrection and the life. And if you are a friend of Christ here this morning, you will be raised to life eternal. Even after death, the love of Christ will not fail you. He has compassion on his own. And he will raise them up at the last day. Christ says, believest thou this? Do you believe it this morning? Martha said to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. The love of Christ then for his people is first constant, but then he comes to his people with great compassion. And then thirdly, we see it as conquering love. If you turn over in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Oh, friends, the conquering love of Christ. We see the outward expression here of Christ's compassion towards Mary, and he comes with her to the graveside. And there, the Son of God sheds real tears. This, of course, is that valley of tears, isn't it, this world? We should not be ashamed to weep at a graveside. It's not pious to have a stoical face on. Christ wept, real tears. He loved Lazarus. Behold how he loved him. Is a sense here in which even the Jews that looked on could see that Christ loved Lazarus more than anyone. Behold how he loved him. But his love conquers. What does it conquer? It conquers sin. The love of Christ conquers our sin. Who can take away our sin but Christ? Who can cause us to know forgiveness and peace with God? Christ. But this love of Christ not only conquers sin but conquers death. You see here, death for a Christian, in one way, is asleep. It's pictured for us and spoken of here as asleep. It's not annihilation, as some claim. But death is a solemn thing, miraculous change. But for the Christian, we should not fear death with as those that do not have hope. We have a conqueror of death. Jesus Christ. And our sins, if we're one of his, have been washed away in his blood. And that sting of death has been removed to a large degree. Those that know the Lord, then they shall rise again. The grave is a conquered enemy. And it's the love of Christ that conquers that grave. Take ye away the stone, he says. And Martha said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. He would have been corrupted in his body, she says. So much so that it would the smell of his body, of his flesh decaying. Lord, do you not realize how long he's laid? Yes, he realizes. You see, the King of Terrors, it cannot hold anyone when Jesus speaks. And the Lord says, Lazarus, come forth. What a mercy it is, friends, if the loving Saviour of sinners has saved us from death that was due for our sin, eternal death, who's conquered it because he loved us and went to Calvary for us and has given us life and hope and eternal joy in heaven to come. What a joyful prospect it will be to leave this world, when in doing so we enter into the joy of our Lord. Well, the love of Christ, constant, compassionate, conquering death. The apostle says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the last trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on an incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, conquering love. Do you know the love of this friend this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. For may the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts.